The following sponsored content was produced on behalf of WeWork.
The modern story of Detroit is often told through loss. Loss of an auto industry, loss of good jobs, loss of people. But for a half century, the Motor City was one of America's biggest and most prosperous cities. At one point, it even contributed nearly 30% of the national GDP. Today, after a painful decline that saw the city's population shrink by more than half, Detroit is at the start of a revival.
What's interesting about that happening in Detroit, that is a city and a region that has learned this hard lesson of being too invested in one industry and having a kind of economic monoculture.
This is Jennifer Bradley. She's director of the Center for Urban Innovation at the Aspen Institute. She says Detroit is learning from those hard lessons.
So the challenge is to think broadly about the spin-out potentials. What are the conditions that would create other kinds of spin-outs around material science or around design or around devices that talk to each other across high speeds? So great, Detroit can continue to be an automotive hub and an automotive innovation hub.
Today, that's exactly what Detroit is doing. It's investing in a startup culture that builds on the city's automotive history, and it's doing it with a modern collaborative twist. On this episode, we're partnering with WeWork to look at how cities like Detroit are adapting to the demands of the 21st century economy and trying to do it equitably. I'm Maria Muriel, and I'll be your host. Part of Detroit's evolution is taking place downtown, along Merchants Row, in a place called the Landing Zone.
When we think about the Planet M Landing Zone, we're thinking about a place that is populated with corporates, startups, venture capital. Imagine the type of energy that's being generated.
This is Sean Phillips. He's the director of Michigan's Planet M, a group focused on revitalizing the state's auto industry with a collaborative, high-tech approach. And WeWork partnered with Planet M to create the Landing Zone. They host mobility-focused tech startups and make connections between those startups and the big companies that have dominated the space for decades.
Think of us as a concierge service for global mobility companies, and that, in essence, will help them to accelerate innovation.
Dozens of startups have flocked to the Landing Zone. These companies are bringing a fresh approach to mobility, setting the stage for a revival of innovation and growth. And some of these startups are explicitly focusing on how to make technology work for everybody. Like Integral, Ashok Shivanand's software company. He partnered with Ford on a project to get people to their healthcare appointments.
We get to kind of work on more on the dispatch and making sure that the drivers know who they have to pick up, the best, most efficient route to get there while kind of having the most number of patients.
Integral gets to do what it does best, create software for connecting cars. And Ford focuses on what it does best, making and selling those cars. And they both get to do it in service of the community.
So the Ford team's looking to find new ways to move people from point A to point B than selling vehicles and financing vehicles. And we get to kind of work in partnership with their technology teams.
Ashok's company is getting big opportunities at the Landing Zone, like getting connected to Ford and other large automakers. But he's aware of the broader impact to Detroit. Urban redevelopment often attracts outsiders, and a tech boom can bring uneven prosperity. So to counter that, Integral offers programming classes to locals from all kinds of professional backgrounds.
It's opening up the doors to have more folks from the Detroit community participate in the disruption that's happening, and both for the city of Detroit as far as the technologists moving in and for the automotive industry with technology being the connecting tissue.
Disruption. It can be a bad thing, like the forces that gutted Detroit's auto industry. It can also be a good thing, like the forces at work today that are reinventing mobility. Fostering the right kind of disruption is key for cities. It's how they make sure communities don't get left behind by tech.
We think about technology as a set of tools, and we think about data as tools that should only be used or are only meaningful when they're in service of some need that we have as humans.
This is Diane Eisner. She leads WeWork's Future Cities initiative. Her background straddles mobility, tech, and design, all with the aim of solving urban challenges. Her approach isn't just about helping companies grow. It's about how those companies can better serve people in their communities.
My whole theory is that the smartest thing in cities are the people who are there, right? So what tools can we provide to them? What platforms can we provide to them to really have us all involved in making our cities better?
You probably know WeWork as a co-working space, and it began that way in 2010. But the company always aspired to more than just shared office space. Today, WeWork operates in 100 cities around the world and has around 400,000 members. 1 in 8 first-time entrepreneurs in major U.S. cities are WeWork members. That's just the start, though. As city life in the 21st century becomes increasingly isolating, WeWork wants to make people feel inspired and connected. They're trying to create a global platform where people can work and solve the wide array of complex issues their cities are facing.
Transportation is becoming an increasing challenge as urbanization happens and more people are flooding into cities. You know, commute times are eating away at social lives, at quality of life. There's a loneliness epidemic, which I know we talk a lot about, but so much of our work is about convening and bringing people together. And that loneliness is a really big mental health issue. There's issues of sustainability. If you find yourself in the fortunate enough position that you can be thinking about what are your habits, are you doing the right things by the environment? We think about that. And then, of course, globalization. These are our kind of three overarching pillars that we think about in terms of macro trends. How are we bringing solutions that can really help feed each other across those pillars?
WeWork is helping cities across the globe solve challenges that fit these pillars. In Detroit, it's mobility, connecting startups to auto companies. In Miami, the city offers subsidized office space to entrepreneurs. And the mayor of London even set up an office in Chicago to spur international business connections. But there's another layer. Governments are now more than ever under pressure to find creative solutions that help create more opportunities for all their residents. Here's Jennifer Bradley again.
We're building the digital infrastructure of the 21st century right now. And if the 20th century taught us anything, it's that infrastructure decisions open up vast ranges of prosperity for some people and move others farther from prosperity. And we need to be exceptionally aware of what we're doing, particularly with respect to equity, because if we make poorly informed decisions now, it's going to be that much harder to roll them back later on down the line.
Back in Detroit, Sean Phillips at Planet M is very aware of this risk. That's why the group created an $8 million mobility challenge, specifically seeking to fund projects focused on underserved communities.
We went into the neighborhood in Detroit and we asked the residents, what are some of your pain points around mobility? Parking was a pain point. Electrification, so what can we do in electrification as well as education? And then from there, we ideated over 120 possible solutions, and then we broke that down to 6 tangible pilots that will be launching the end of this year.
Figuring out which communities need the most help and even which problems are the most pressing requires work on the ground. Diane at WeWork says this is where tech can help identify people's needs.
One thing that I do love from technology is it gives us the ability to measure our impact. Okay, that's great, but what are the hard metrics that are going to help keep us and everyone else accountable to making sure we're doing the right things in neighborhoods? We drill down into the metrics around equitability. We drill down into metrics around affordability. I think we drill down into some of the metrics around wellness. And really, it's about listening and learning from communities.
This groundwork has a direct influence on WeWork programs. For example, there's the Access Labs program with Flatiron School in Brooklyn, which offers students who make less than $35,000 a year deferred tuition at a coding boot camp. And there's the National Veterans Initiatives. Boosting veteran entrepreneurs has always been good for the economy. After World War II, about half of returning veterans were business owners. But today, only less than 5% are starting companies. So WeWork is looking to help. It created a Veterans in Residence program. And it's working. It operates in 15 cities, and WeWork has over 150 veteran-owned businesses coming through its offices every 6 months. This kind of program, which puts work in service of the community, is what keeps Diane passionate.
We're looking for who doesn't feel involved, who doesn't feel engaged. As you push this even further, we have a new partnership with the Aspen Institute, and this is really trying to better understand the economic impact of the work that we're doing and the future of work. And so we really want to be welcoming for all kinds of communities around the world.
There's a lot at stake as the world continues to urbanize. Even before joining the We Company, Diane was focused on helping cities raise the stakes. She co-founded the Neighborhood Start Fund with rapper Lupe Fiasco to turn the ideas of diverse entrepreneurs into real-life startups. She ran urban systems at Google, and before that, she launched the U.S. office of Waze, an app that helps people better navigate their cities. Diane just loves cities. She loves the excitement and opportunity they provide.
But personally, I don't come from a city. I come from a fairly small post-industrial town where even by the time I was born, the factories were already closed. And I dreamed of living in New York from the time I can remember, which is what I did. I lived in New York for 17 years. But what it represented to me was opportunity. An opportunity to overcome poverty, an opportunity to meet new kinds of people, an opportunity to get a glimpse of the world outside of my bubble. And so I love the city. I think it represents opportunity, and I want to share that opportunity with as many people in the world as I can.
Her mission now is to take that passion and help cities build adaptable, equitable, and sustainable economies. And it all comes together in a physical space.
If you look at this metaphor of the physical platform, in my work, if I rethink town square for today's purposes, if I rethink public space and commons around what people need, how do we then, if we've got it working inside of WeWorks, back out onto the street and back into the public again, and really get that exchange of people coming in and being welcomed, and then people going out and into the public space, supporting local businesses, really trying to hone that. And so I think that's where it's all going.
It's a return from the virtual to the physical, with a very direct focus on inclusivity. The goal is for as many people as possible to access opportunity by making the space for them to create and collaborate.
We have an opportunity to reimagine our cities and our spaces, and we need to do this thoughtfully and make sure that the space is giving us what we need.
There isn't one model for all cities to follow, but as the economy transforms, cities are being reimagined. Through the places where we collaborate, where we dream, where we build things. And by doing so, we can help cities thrive and become more livable and become more human. Thanks for tuning in to this episode, made possible by WeWork. I'm Maria Muriel.